Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here with another episode of Wrestle Horror Podcast. Joining me as always is Donnie Hoover.
Hey, everybody.
And we have a special guest with us this week, and this is for you, those of you that have been waiting and waiting for the horror and Halloween and haunt aspect of the show. Our first one out of the gate, Mr. Kelly Collins, former owner of Scaratorium, Captain Cordova on Buckeye Lake. Kelly, how the heck have you been?
Are you scurvy dogs? I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying retirement and I should say semi-retirement. And I'm enjoying being out here on the lake. Just loving it.
Well, it looks like retirement is, or semi-retirement is treating you well. You don't look quite so stressed during this time of year.
That is true. My stress level has dropped immensely since selling the haunted house. and not working my 50-hour week job. For 28 years, I worked there for White Castle. I was in the marketing department. So, yeah, definitely a lower stress level.
Well, that's good for you. It makes you look really good, and that's the important thing is you're healthy and you're looking great. So it's good to see you like that.
Thanks.
We brought Kelly on. Now, Kelly and I go way back, quite a few years, MHC's gone by. Kelly, you had discussed with Donnie via text earlier that you wanted to talk about scare actor recruitment and retention as it applies to the haunted attraction industry.
Well, it's something that I, when we started in this industry 35 years ago, roughly, I started, it was never a problem getting actors, to work at haunted houses. And, we owned Scaratorium for 10 years. And, people used to ask me, where do you get all your actors? And I'm like, they come to me. We don't advertise, they just come to me. Well, it was like that up until about 3 years ago. And that's when was the first time we really had to advertise to try to get actors. And then the next year, it got even harder. So each year over the last couple of years, it just progressively got harder and harder to add to our staff. And part of that was we kept increasing our staff too. The last year that we had the Scaratorium, we sold it in 2017. And that year we were up to 150 staff. And so, it was getting harder each year because we were adding additional 10 or so actors each year to our staff. So there's a variety of things that we used to do to help us retain our actors. And we had an 85% retention rate of actors, which is unheard of, in the industry. And people used to ask me, they're like, well, how do you do that? How do you keep your actors coming back year after year? And what we did is we started in January with training, as you know, Jim, because you were one of our trainers that came and helped us train. Yes, and we were fortunate that we had a building that we were in year round. And so in January, our first class of the year, so every month, once a month, we had a training session. And it would start out with character development. So we would help everybody develop a character in January. And then in February, we would get into costuming. And then in March, we'd get into makeup. And so it just progressed every month till we had, some good characters for people to perform in. But it wasn't just actor training. What we did is we would welcome them in the afternoon. Let's say it started at, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we would have about a 2-hour training session. Then after that, we would have lunch or brunch or dinner or something. We would always bring in food. So everybody sat around for an hour and just had fun together, socializing and seeing each other. And then we would have a DJ come in and we would have either karaoke or a dance with the DJ, but, some type of entertainment. So they were usually there for anywhere from 4 to 5 hours once a month, socializing, learning, and having fun. And we did that year round. We would take November off because the haunt was closing up for the season. And then we would have a Christmas party for everybody in December. So in our opinion, or in my opinion, one of the successes to keeping a good retention to your actors is training year round and getting them together, not just training, but for fun. Let them have a good time together. We did bowling some years too in January, just to get them out to have fun together. Teamwork, you know, let them get together and know each other better with teamwork, because they form teams and they bowl as a team. So it was those kind of things that we think helped us recruit and retain a good acting team.
Well, I've got to say, and I'm going to put Donnie on the spot here too, because he's come out and worked with you a couple of times. But every time I've been out there, you know, it just amazes me. And I think I told you the first time I came out there to work on an MHC thing, that your retention and how happy your actors appeared to me. Donnie, don't you agree that, I mean, a lot of the actors are just very content?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I don't know if Kelly even knows this or not, but it's because of him and his kindness and how his atmosphere and at the Scaratorium was so fun and good to be around, that he's basically the reason why I'm even in haunting. I know I say, you know, all the time that Keith Newsom and Mike Newsom, Anthony Newsom, is all my lifelong friends and I'm doing it with them, but it was Kelly allowing me to come into the Scaratorium a few times and just play around and just get to see the atmosphere and the family atmosphere that was behind it. And yeah, that was 100%. And I mean, I was hooked even. I was like, yeah, man, this place is pretty awesome. Everybody's so daggone nice. You know, they have fun. That's what it's all about. You know, I want more of this. And the couple years with the Trail of Tormented Terror that we've been running, we've actually kind of swiped his mantra and his atmosphere and his vision. And we've tried to do the same thing. You know, we feed the actors. We try to have fun. We have some get-togethers and meetings. And we tried to incorporate some of that as well. And it was because of Kelly that we knew to do that. And just from seeing what he had taught at people and how he did it. So, you know, yeah, 100%. If you went to the Scaratorium, and if Kelly, if you ever go back to episode one and listen to all of the Wrestle Horror podcast, we pretty much mentioned Scaratorium and damn near every single episode. I mean, it's always, we're always saying Scaratorium, but yeah, so 100%. You know, it was a great place, and that's what hooked me into wanting to do more with haunting. And, you know, so kudos to him and Nina and Keith and even all the Newsome boys and the whole staff that helped create that atmosphere.
Yeah, and the other thing that we did is we were there every weekend, you know, with the exception of a few weekends when it was just bitterly cold. But we had to heat the building, so we were in there with construction. And one of the other things that we did is we always served lunch during construction. And when everybody would, I would come in and I would make an announcement over the PA system. Okay, the Tomain Buffet is now open. And everybody would stop working. They would come over to the break area and we would sit down and we'd have lunch together. That was our rule. When the food was being served, even if you weren't hungry, we wanted you to stop working, come over and just take a break with us together. And one of the things, it's not just one thing, but some things that we did during those lunches, I think also kind of brought in the family atmosphere and the friendship. And we used to play a game. But I did have a rule. And my one rule was, put your phone away. When you're eating, when we're at the table and we're breaking for lunch, you're not to have your phones out. I want your phones. You can leave them on, just put them in your pocket. And if something comes up and you have to get on your phone, you get up from the table and you walk away from the table and then you take your phone call. But you don't sit at the table on your phone. You don't play on your phone. You don't text or anything like that. And then we would play a game. And the game was, you would go around the table, say your first name, and then I would have a different topic. So let's say, for example, one Saturday it would be, name your favorite horror movie and why. And so each person, as we went around the table, would say their name, and they would say, oh, well, my favorite horror movie was Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and why. And so what would happen is somebody else at the table would say, oh, that's my favorite too. And then they would start, after we went all the way around, everybody did their introductions, then they would start talking about what they had in common. And that was something that we felt was very beneficial in getting the actors to get to know each other and kind of break the ice, because there was new people coming in on weekends and helping out, and they really didn't know anybody. They were new, and so it gave them a chance to find out what they had in common with each other at the table. And sometimes there'd be 25, 30 of us there at the table having lunch at the same time, and we think that was also beneficial in helping us retain a lot of our actors. by letting him see the familiarity that they had with other people. And I don't want to generalize and say that all actors fell into this category, but a lot of them did. And a lot of our actors were, I'll call them, quote, goth kids. And in high school, they didn't have a lot of friends. You know, they were a little different. They liked to wear black. They had someone liked to wear makeup. They generally were into horror movies. And they weren't the most popular kids in school. But when they came to the haunt, and they were surrounded with all these other people that had similar, liked to wear black, like, you know, they were goth kids and whatever, they felt at home. They felt welcome. You know, they said, this is where I belong. You know, these are my people. And so we provided them with an opportunity to get together with people of similar interest and have fun together. And so I think all of that kind of combined helped us have such a high retention rate with our actors. I used to, it's sad, but whenever somebody would get pregnant, I knew that was going to be, we wouldn't see them for a while. Because once they have a kid, you know, that takes up your time, your spare time, you know, in your relationship. So I was happy for them to have a child, but sad for us because I knew we were losing a good actor or a good construction or makeup room artist or something like that. Sometimes we'd get them back after a couple of years. They'd come back into the fold. But then when their kids started getting involved in sports, then we'd lose them again because they were taking their kids to sporting activities and, you know, running them here and there. So, again, I was happy for them, but sad for us because we were losing, you know, some good quality people when they have introduced a child into the relationship. So any other questions on that, or is that kind of what you're looking for?
Oh, it's perfect. As a matter of fact, I wanted to add a comment to what you said regarding retention and that 85%. I remember a young lady when I was there training that drove all the way from Pittsburgh to work there every weekend.
We did have people that drove quite a ways to be with us. And it was because they had come to work for us when they lived in Columbus. And then when their job took them out of state or family took them somewhere, a lot of them came back. Yeah, because their family was there. This is where their haunt family was. And they wanted to be a part of their haunt family. We had, I think the senior person that we had working for us was with us 25 years. We used to give out an award when you hit 20 years with us. Now the Scaretorium, we had only been with that 10 years, but before that we were at Terre Park at Cooper Stadium. Right. And before that we were with Hollow Scream at Wyandotte Lake, a Six Flags attraction. And before that we were at, it's called Hoover Y Park. So each attraction I would make friends and keep them in the fold, you know, and they would follow me wherever we went. And so, yeah, my senior person was with us 25 years. And then we had six or seven in a 20-year club. And so it just kind of grew from there. And I know as you came in, you saw a lot of familiar faces, Jim, when you came to visit and see us. And that was why, because we had so many people returning year after year.
Well, again, I would never deny the fact that it's probably one of the best haunts I've been to for retention. I've been to other haunts and I've seen people come and go, but year after year, you know, one that stands out to me because I worked with her was Brittany. Mm-hmm. She was an amazing actress and I was pleased to see her every time she showed up when I was there.
Yeah. She was one of the, her mother brought her to us and said, hey, she's only 15 and she wants to be a makeup artist. And so we teamed her up with Keith and Bobby Joe and, you know, our makeup team. And they have a way that they train artists. You know, they have them watch for a while and then they'll have them do half of a face. So, you know, Bobby Joe or Keith would do one half and they would do a step and then he would have her repeat that on the other half of the face. And so, over time we trained her to become one of our makeup artists and she became an awesome makeup artist and she's now working for a haunt and I'm drawing a blank at the moment. She's working for a haunt down in Georgia.
Oh, okay.
So, she moved way out of state, way out of range, but she's pursuing a career that she loves, you know, and she's working with a haunt. She's got a great career there, as a makeup artist. And she was a really good actor too. I would say probably, the majority, maybe guessing, I'd say probably 75% of our makeup artists were also actors at the haunt. So they did both. They would finish in the makeup room, then they'd get in costume and makeup, then they'd head out to a scene. And always try to put them in a position or a scene towards the end So they had time to finish everybody's makeup before they headed out. And I miss them all. You know, everybody was like family, and I sure miss them. That's for sure.
Well, that's a good segue, because that's actually, that question was going to come up. And I mean, how much of it do you miss? I mean,
well, last year was the first year that I wasn't involved with the haunt, but we were moving. So Nina and I were in the process of packing and moving, and I really didn't get much time to think about it because we were just so busy moving. This year is going to be the first year that I'm going to have some free time on my hand, and I'll probably end up volunteering at a couple of haunts as an actor. I've already talked to a couple of haunts and said, hey, yeah, I'm going to show up. I'll probably bring my doctor character with me, and I'll get a chance to perform. I'm doing a little bit of teaching, a little acting, teaching actors, some acting seminars and workshops. So I'm kind of getting back into the fold this year. And of course, I'm involved in the Midwest Honors Convention and doing a lot of planning for Midwest Honors. And I'm an executive producer for the show, and I oversee various parts of the show. So I'm still keeping my my toes in the water, so to say. But I'm also doing something fun out here, and that is we moved to a lake. It's called Buckeye Lake, and we started a pirate gang out here. We have a boat, and we started a pirate gang. We're the Buckeye Lake Pirates. And we make appearances at various bars and restaurants and special events and out on the water with the boat. And we just have a ball. We have a great time interacting with people as pirates.
Do you have a cutlass?
I do. I have a very nice costume. It's very elaborate. I have several pirate costumes, depending on the weather. If it's cold, I've got a really full-length jacket, and if it's hot, I have a vest that I recently got. So I adjust my costume to the weather and accessories, and so we have a real good time. My character is Captain Cordoba, and the name of our ship is the Mirage. So we've got a first mate, we've got a doctor, and here's my line is, when I go out, I recruit people for our pirate ship. And it's an informal, more of a cosplay type thing, you know, and I'll say, well, let me introduce you to our crew. And I'll go around, I'll introduce all the members of the crew, and I'll say, and we've got free health care. Well, it's a doctor that's on the ship. Well, technically, he's not a doctor. He's more like a veterinarian. Let's just say he likes to walk dogs. And then from there, everybody laughs, you know. And then I'll go around, and the doctor will say, are you allergic to lemons or leeches? And that's our healthcare plan, you know, lemons and leeches. Right. So that's our healthcare plan. And then I'll say, we got a couple open spots. I need someone to guard the rum. Can we trust you to guard the rum? And about half the people will say, no, you can't trust me. And then the other half will say, sure, I don't drink rum. I'll be happy to guard the rum. And then I'll say, we need somebody for the crow's nest. And so are you afraid of heights? And somebody will, no, I'm not afraid. Okay, but you're going to be in the crow's nest. So I go around and I need somebody to read maps. And we don't use GPS on the ship. So you need to be able to read maps, you know. So when I meet people out in bars and restaurants and at special events, these are the kind of I introduce our crew, then I try to recruit them to become a member of the crew. And we just have fun, you know. And we have a Facebook group called Buckeye Lake Pirates. And I tell them, if they can't remember that, they're probably not smart enough to be in our crew, because we're on Buckeye Lake and we're pirates. So if they can't remember Buckeye Lake Pirates, then they're probably not intelligent enough to be in their crew. So then we encourage them to join our Facebook group, and then we keep them updated of where we're going and so forth. And there's a couple of bands that play out here. There's 12 restaurants and bars that are on the lake, and you can get on your boat and go around to these various establishments. Okay. And so some of the bands that play at these places just love us. When we come in and they see us coming in, they'll announce that the Buckeye Lake Pirates are here. And so, they've come accustomed to seeing us, and they kind of make a big deal out of the Buckeye Lake Pirates are here and so forth. So we have something special going on this Friday. I don't know all the details, but it involves the Discovery Channel and, an event that's going on out here at Buckeye Lake. So the Buckeye Lake Pirates will be there this coming Friday for this recording. I don't know all the details yet.
Well, that'll be interesting to see you on the Discovery Channel or whatever they're recording for you. They've got all the different channels. And it sounds like it's just a blast. I mean, if I had the time, I think it'd be fun too, but you know, I've still got a few years to retirement.
Well, I'd love to have you join the crew some weekend. If you can get away and come up here and bring your best pirate gear. We actually have a tub, this large plastic tub that we have a bunch of pirate gear in. So whenever somebody comes out and they don't have anything, we've got you covered. We've got extra pirate gear. So we can help you get outfitted. And Nina does a phenomenal job. You know, my wife, Nina, she's a great makeup artist. Mm-hmm. And she does a lot of the face paint for the pirates on the crew. And, yeah, she does a great job, and everybody gets made up and have fun, and you just got to see it to understand it, I guess.
Or maybe I've got my own pirate gear.
Glad to hear it.
Including my cutlass. So, Tayo, I'm going to step back for a second, and you mentioned MHC. There was a big brouhaha about the move from Columbus to Chicago. I unfortunately couldn't make it this year, but all the reports I had were very positive. And it sounds like it was a great move for Transworld to move to Chicago. What's your take on it?
Well, they called me and they asked me to come to Chicago. They told me what they wanted to do and why. And they asked me to come to Chicago and take a look at the facilities. And I did. And I told them, I said, I think it's the best thing you could do. As much as I hated to see the convention move from Columbus, I mean, my three partners and I started the show in 2004. We had a 10-year business plan, and we worked year-round on the show. I mean, we worked all the time. I worked from my day started about 7 a.m. I worked my 8-hour job, 8 to 9-hour job, I should say. And then from there, I'd come home at night, grab a quick bite to eat, and head upstairs on my computer. And I was either working on Scaratorium or I was working on the Midwest Honors Convention. And that was our life. All of our vacations revolved around the Midwest Honors Convention and the Scaratorium. We didn't go anywhere that wasn't haunt related. And so after 10 years, our partners, we all decided, you know, we had a 10-year plan. That was our plan all along. And we decided it was time to sell. And so in order to grow the show, to make it even bigger than it is now or than it was at that time, you really needed to move it to a bigger market. And the Chicago market was ripe for a convention. And for those of the people that were there this year, they saw that. I mean, in Columbus, we have roughly three haunts. In Central Ohio, four maybe. You know, with the tours, because we did these bus tours. Every year we did the bus tours where we visited haunted houses. And at some point we ran out of haunts in Ohio to tour. So then we started going into Pennsylvania and Michigan and Kentucky, Indiana. So we started, you know, expanding the bus tours, getting further and further out. And we were just kind of running out of haunts to tour. And so by moving the show to Chicago, it really opened it up to where we have got a lot more haunts now that we can tour. Our bus tour up there was some of the best haunts I've been to. And I've been, I counted it up at one point and I've been over 200 haunted houses on tours, not just with the MHC, but other tours that I've been on. And I've seen some really awesome, impressive haunts. But this last year in Chicago, Hell's Gate was like a Disneyland haunted attraction. I mean, it was just over the top. Basement of the Dead was just blew us away. Massacre was off the hook. Midnight Terror. I mean, all four of the haunts on the pre-con tour were just, you know, Dead Rising was the other one. And people were just walking on the, getting back on the bus saying, wow, unbelievable haunts and actors. And then that Friday night Hell's Gate, everybody was coming off the buses and they were just saying, I've never seen anything so spectacular. I mean, it was built from the ground up to be a haunted attraction. Right. You start out going through a cemetery, through the woods, and then you come up to this mansion, you know, and after you go through the woods, and it was just lit up and it was phenomenal. So, you know, I think it was a decision. It was a tough decision. It was a hard decision for them to make, but it was the right decision. And it was the right time to move it to Chicago. And I see it being in Chicago for a while. Will it come back to Columbus for a year? Possibly. I could see that happening, coming back to Columbus at some point. forever? No, but it could come back for a year or two, who knows. But the problem they were having in Columbus, the Convention Bureau for Columbus came out with a new policy and said, you can't sign a multi-year contract with a group or organization unless they have a minimum of 10,000 attendees. And the Midwest Haunters, we're running somewhere around 5,000, 6,000 attendees. We weren't at that 10,000 mark. So that's why the 1 year it was on Memorial Day weekend. Everybody's like, why'd you pick Memorial Day weekend? That's a terrible weekend to have the, you know, the show. Well, it wasn't a choice. The convention center said, this is the date you can have it. They wouldn't give us the dates that we wanted. And so they didn't have a choice. It was that or not hold it in Columbus. So that was when they said, okay, it's time to look for another city since they won't give us our dates. So by moving it to Chicago, they're going to grow the show. They'll break that 10,000 number. And then maybe you'll see it come back to Columbus for a year. I don't know. You know, who knows for sure, but I think that's a good possibility. So that really, you know, combination of a convention center that's giving you the dates that you want, a city that's got, you know, what do we got, 80 haunted houses or something in the Chicagoland market, you know, to tour. And then you've got all those haunts have actors. You know, in Columbus, three or four haunts, and you've got the actors come to the show. In Chicago, you've got close to 80 haunts, and all of those actors can come to the show. Do the math. It's not that hard to figure it out. We feel bad for the people in Ohio that were able to, you know, live in Columbus that could, you know, walk to the show or stay at home at night and not have to stay at the hotel. We feel badly about that. But in order for the show to continue to grow and prosper and be profitable, which has to be profitable, otherwise it's not going to be around, it needs to be in a market where they can draw enough people to make it a successful show. And that's what they're able to do in Chicago.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And, you know, people will get used to it just like anything else. And sometimes their anger is a little misguided, but they don't see the whole picture. So,
yeah, and I did hear a lot of backlash about the Memorial Day weekend, so I'm kind of glad that you were able to get on here and explain it, because a lot of people were just, you know, like complaining about it with not knowing the whole story. And I didn't know the whole story myself, actually, so I was glad to hear that.
Right. Those are the facts, and I know not everybody knows them. I'm the one that was involved, and I'm the one that they consulted with and said, you know, hey, we're thinking move to Chicago. What's your opinion? And they value my opinion, and which is why I work for them. You know, I assist them. Jen flew me out to Chicago and showed me where they were going to hold it, and I got to tour some haunts, and I just said, I agree. This is what really needs to be done to keep the show, around, keep it successful. And to get the right weekends, you know, they're always going to try to do it on the first or second weekend in June. Stay away from Memorial Day. You know, it's not a good time for it. So. And you can't go later, you know, they'd offer us a date in August. Well, you know, it's too late in August. You need to have your show. We try to do it after the kids get out of school. And that's why we usually shoot for that weekend in June. So most of the kids are out of school. So parents, you know, they can bring their kids with them, which they do. And it is a family-friendly show. It's scary, but most haunters, kids are used to that. So that doesn't really bother them. And they have a whole area set aside for families and kids. And they have, that's a DJ and contest and games for the kids and keep them active. And it was a great show this year. They had hearses on the show floor. There's a hearse club that was involved in the show. There's a Chicago Haunted House Review. As an organization that reviews haunted houses, they're involved in the show. There were probably a dozen haunted houses that had booths at the show. They were recruiting actors for their haunts and promoting their haunts to customers for the upcoming season. And the exhibitors, most of the exhibitors did real well. Not everybody, but most of the exhibitors did really well. Some of them sold out on the first day. They have a preview now on Friday from 5 to 7. Some of them sold everything they brought on that first, during that first preview, that 2-hour preview. And it was good. It was a good decision. And I think they're going to do extremely well.
Yeah. I'm bummed that I just could not, I had car issues and money at the time. So I wasn't able to go. And I was a little bit bummed out because the past 2 years I've been one of the judges for Chad Savage's costume contest. And he called me and asked me if I wanted to do it again this year. And I sadly had to tell him no, because I enjoy doing that. So hopefully next year I'll be able to make it.
Good.
So Donnie, you've been sitting over there awfully quiet. Do you have anything for Kelly?
Yeah. I mean, when opportunities like this happens, that's usually what I do is I just clam up and open my ears. Cause I mean, people that's in the wrestling side of this podcast, that may not know a lot about haunting. It's kind of like me being Randy Mulkey and I'm sitting here talking with Ric Flair and Harley Race. So when that's going on, you know, I shut up and I listen. But yeah, like I said, everything he said, like I said, the explanation of Memorial Day made a lot of sense. And another thing, you know, to reiterate, I do notice, like when with us building the trail and being on Facebook, a lot of the haunt owners and a lot of the actors, you know, finding help is difficult around here, and I'm sure a lot of other areas too. So, you know, once you find that help, you need to do something special to keep them. So that's why I thought it was great to get Kelly on here to talk about that. And because, you know, if you treat them right, they'll stay. You know, if you take them for granted, you won't have them around very long. And so this is, you know, important people. If you're looking for people, if you're hurting for help and actors, you know, take notes. You know, this is the guy that you listen to. And you know, that's how you keep them. Just treat them nice, treat them with respect, make them a part of your family.
You know, in the early part of my years in the haunting business, I'm not going to mention the name of the haunt. It's not around anymore anyway. But so I went to work for a haunt and they said, I said, do you want my schedule when I'm available? And they said, we just want you to come any night you're available. You just come down here any night. And so I showed up at the haunt on my first night there, no training. They didn't offer any training classes, nothing. They just said, you know, on this is where you're going to come on opening night. I showed up, they gave me a black cape and a rubber mask. And they said, go out this door, turn left. And when you come to the scene that has, and they described what was in the scene, that's where you're going to work. And at the end of the night, when the lights come on, that's when we're closed. And that was it. No bottle of water, no snacks, no training. Nobody walked me to my scene. I went to my scene by myself. Nobody told me what I was supposed to do. And it was a terrible experience. And I kept going back because I love, you know, a love for the industry. I was a volunteer and it was a love for the industry. But at that time I said, you know, if I ever get involved in this industry, I am not going to treat people like this. This is a terrible way to treat people. And I learned from that. And so that's kind of what helped me evolve into what we did at the Scaratorium. You know, again, training classes, you know, we had a costume room, we had a makeup room, we had a script. When you showed up for each night, you got your scene assignment, and then you got a script for your character that had a character description, what you were supposed to look like, what you were supposed to act like, you know, your characteristics, and you know, you had a script. And it wasn't intense, you know, it'd be anywhere from 3 to 8 words, 10 words you had to say. It wasn't anything, but you know, we told you what you were supposed to say. And then you had a zone captain. Your zone captain, most of my zone captains had anywhere from roughly 15 actors that they reported to them. And your zone captain took you to your scene, showed you where you were performing, where your scene started, where your scene ended. And, you know, gave you tips and suggestions on where to come out from, and showed you where the emergency exit was and where you're supposed to go. If there was a fire alarm went off, you know, what you were supposed to do and where you're supposed to go. And, you know, it's just, we thought about people. You got a break throughout the night. You got a break halfway through the night if you wanted one. A lot of people didn't. We brought water around to you. So we treated people right. And a lot of haunts don't. It's unfortunate that a lot of haunts still are like the one that I started out in. And I think it's because they don't know any better, you know, and they just don't realize how important it is to take care of their people. And so we were always big on taking care of our people.
Well, I hope that the listeners and the viewers that are watching this really pay heed to a lot of what you've said, Kelly, because it is very sage advice, and your performance speaks for itself. It works. What Kelly has done works. And if you emulate that, it could help your haunt out in the long run.
Oh, it'd make your life much easier. You've got good acting and you've got good people working for you. It makes your life easier. It takes work. It's not easy. Everything I described, it's not simple. It's not easy. But if you do it, it works, which will make your life much easier come the season, you know, when you need to do that. And I'm going to plug, there's a DVD out. It's a documentary. As you know, Jim, you're into documentary too. Yes. It's called Scare. SCARE, SCARE, and it's available. You can find it through YouTube. You can find it through Facebook, and you can order a copy of SCARE. And it basically describes how I got in the industry, how we started to haunt, and how we did auditions. Everybody had to audition to work for a haunt. So we have samples of auditions and what we look for in the auditions. It's got some of our training classes, including Jim, you and Chris are in the training classes that are in there. It's got a makeup class with Keith Newsom. And it talks about treating people right, treating actors right. And it shows some of the variety of things that we did at the Scaratorium to be successful. So I highly encourage you, if you're thinking about that, actually, I'm going to talk about this for a couple minutes yet. I don't know how much time I have left, but
you're okay.
If you're thinking about getting into the haunted attraction industry, you're one of the viewers out there and you're like, man, I'd like to get into this business. I want to give you a couple of tips and suggestions. Number one, go to the conventions. You've got the Midwest Haunters Convention, you've got Transworld, and they generally offer classes on getting started in the haunted attraction industry. Take classes, because there's so much about this industry that you have no clue what you're getting into. I know, Donnie, I watched the last episode and you'd mentioned in there, there were a lot of things that you didn't even know about the haunted industry. And that's where a lot of haunters fail, because they don't know what all's involved in getting started in this industry. And they have a lack of knowledge. They have a lack of funding, and they don't really know what they're getting themselves into. And they don't understand, you know, people used to come up to me and say, well, I came up to your haunted house and there was a line. There must have been, you know, 300, 400, 500 people in that line. You got to be making a lot of money. And well, they come on the third weekend in October or the fourth weekend in October on a Saturday night, and they think it's, you know, nothing but money. Well, the average haunted attraction owner takes 3 years to break even. 3 years. Just to break even. And they don't understand that. And I've known some people, they invest all this money in the first year, and they tell their investors, well, we're going to get our money back because this is how many people we're going to do. And doesn't work that way. They end up losing their ass. And then they've lost all this money and all this investment because they didn't know. They just didn't know any better. And then you've got the fire marshal. And, you know, a fire marshal can do you in. If you're not safe, and you have to be safe. You have to know the laws, the rules, the regulations, everything that's involved in getting into this industry. Because if a haunted house, we're, heaven forbid, but if we ever had a fire at a haunted house and people died, it would ruin this industry, because people would be afraid to go to haunted houses, and the fire marshals would really come down on everybody else. Because as you know, whenever something major happens, they tend to overreact and implement rules and regulations to prevent that from ever happening again. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, you know, coming out with these rules and regulations, it is a good thing, but sometimes they go a little overboard. But the most important thing to get out of this particular topic is you need to know what the laws are. You need to know what the zoning is. I've had people purchase a building and not even know if it's going to pass zoning or not. And sometimes it doesn't pass zoning. And he just bought a building and he just signed a lease, a multi-year lease for a building they can't use because it doesn't pass the zoning. A simple thing is zoning. It doesn't meet that. And then some buildings don't have sprinkler systems. You know, when we were looking for buildings, I looked at 40 locations before we found our location. And a lot of the places, I didn't even look at them if they didn't have a sprinkler system, because they're not going to let you operate without a sprinkler system, right. At least in Ohio. Now, there's some cities, they're giving people a variance, but it's rare. I know a good example, some friends of mine, they bought a building and they ended up spending $150,000 putting a sprinkler system in it. It didn't have to have a sprinkler system when it was a school for children. Elementary school. You would think if they didn't require it for a school, an elementary school, they wouldn't require it for a haunt, but they do. And it's because in a school, if there's a fire, the alarm goes off, you can see to go out the door and down the hallways and out you go. But in a haunted house, you've got all these twists and turns and darkness and sounds and things going on. And so they're going to require sprinkler systems to give people time to get out of the building if a fire, you know, were to occur. So if you're going to get into this industry, buy the movie Scare. It goes, all this is covered in the movie Scare. Take classes at Transworld or Midwest Haunters Convention. And spend some time with a haunt. I don't mean just as an actor. Volunteer to let's tell the guy what you're going to do. Say, hey, look, I'd like to open my own haunted attraction. Can I shadow you for a season? Oh, I've got several people who have done that, you know, where they've just shadowed me. And because they want to get into the business, they want to get into the industry, but they didn't know what they needed to know. And that's why I used to tell people, you don't know what it is that you don't know. And until you get the education and get some hands-on experience at it, you know, you really don't understand there are things about this business that are so important and so critical for you to be successful.
Yeah, one of the things I learned, Keith used to beat this into my head, and he actually learned it from Nina. When you were going back to where you were saying that everybody thinks that it's when they see the people outside, it's just money flowing out, you know, flowing. And he would tell me over and over that somebody asked Nina one time, how much does it take to run $1 million haunt? And she said $3 million.
Yeah. So,
and every time I would mention like we have our numbers, because you know when we started Trail of Tournament of Terror, you know, first thing I did when the Kickmaster property owners brought it to my attention, I said, well, I need somebody that knows what they're doing because I don't. And of course Keith, you know, was the obvious choice. And the first thing we did was, you know, we want to build this like how it was back in the day. We want to build it like how Kelly had Scaratorium, and that's how we're going to do it. And so we took a lot of what you've done and incorporated it into that. And I would always say, well, how many people we need before we break even or get back, you know, to the even point? And he would just say, to make $1 million haunt, you need $3 million. I'm like, all right, I get it.
Like, right. So, right.
But yeah, I mean, it's not just the, you know, the luxury like everybody thinks it is. If you got a big line out the door, that's just helping you pay your bills, basically.
Yeah, well, and we were in a building year round, so we were leasing a building year round. So I had to make enough money, and about 22 nights, you know, to pay for everything and to right. be able to stay in that building year round. And people just don't have no idea; they have no clue, you know, what it takes to get into this business. I've had people ask me, you know, what kind of a budget should I have? And you know, $1 million haunt, that's out of the reach of a lot of people. But right. I used to say, you know, somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000 is what it takes. Now, some people are going to say, oh, you don't need that much money to get started. No, you don't. If you're going to start an outdoor trail somewhere, you know, your expenses are much less, but yeah. you've got other complications like weather, you know, cold, too hot, rain. So you've got all those issues to deal with. Theft. Outdoor haunts have problems with theft because people living nearby, kids can sneak in at night and steal equipment. This one haunt I worked out, this outdoor haunt, every night we had to take the sound systems down, the lights, anything of value. We had to pack it up and take it in and put it and lock it in storage every night. And then the next day you'd have to go out and set all that up in the woods again, because if you didn't, they'd steal it. So yeah, there's a whole lot to this industry. People have no idea, no clue. And, you know, anybody's interested in getting the industry, take the classes, watch the movie Scare, you know.
Yeah, and I believe you can get Scare on eBay too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It's available on eBay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're going to open a haunt and you need somebody to train your actors, this guy.
There you go.
I agree. Yeah. Great training session. Jim and Chris are a good team, and they come around and they work with your team. And we used to bring people in from outside, you know, we had our own trainers, but right. we also thought it was beneficial to bring in somebody else, somebody from the outside to show some other sides. And the actors appreciate it too. They enjoyed seeing some of these professionals from around the country would come in and offer training. So highly recommend that. Yes.
And you've had some well-known trainers come through Scaratorium in your day. So
oh yeah. Especially when it came to the makeup, we used to love them. We'd bring in, you know, Nick Wolf's been in to visit with us, and Pascher has been an instructor, Roger Miller. Yeah. We've had some of the top people in the industry have come through and helped us with training, Drew Badger, of course yourself, Jim. So yeah. Yeah. Love having people come in and assist us with training.
And, yeah, I was able to get Jim and Chris to come in and do a training one time, but I had to bribe him with wrestling.
Yeah, the deal was. Go ahead, Kelly.
Donnie, I bribed him with a hotel stay at a castle.
Yes. Hey, there you go.
Yes, he did.
That'd be worth it.
it was a great trip. We really enjoyed ourselves. Was a long weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Landall's is quite the place.
Landall's Mohican Castle. Yeah. It was a fabulous, it's a castle, and it's decorated inside now, just like a castle from the 17th century. It's just a beautiful place.
Nice.
And we ate at the restaurant on site, which had a Gordon Ramsay inspired menu.
Oh, it was fabulous. Fabulous.
It was.
And we ran into a new haunted house. The it's now called the Mohican. It was called Lessons in Fear. Now it's called the Mohican Schoolhouse, Mohican Haunted Schoolhouse. And, we got a chance to get a tour of that facility. They were under construction and we drove by and saw it, turned around, had a U-turn, went back and we all got a tour.
Yeah. It's like, we're heading towards the castle. All of a sudden everybody's making a U-turn. Like, what's going on here? Yeah. And then we pulled up and said, ah, I get it now.
Yep.
It was fun. But Donnie bribed me. I'm now one of his ring announcers. So
that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It helps. You're a big guy too, Jim.
You know, I've got a couple of the guys that, like JR, who's one of the with the main ring announcer. He just looked at me and goes, "You're too big. You're going to kick my ass."
But don't let him fool you, though. The first time he got in the ring to ring announce, 140 pound lady got in the ring and just got in his face and put him in his place. Yep, he did. Queen Amy was giving him the business that night.
Yes, she was. Shoving the microphone into my chest, snatching it away. It was fun. You know, I enjoy it. But anyway, time's running short. So before we go, Kelly, are there any last pearls of wisdom you can offer, or is there anything you'd like to plug, or both?
Well, let's see. I talked about the movie Scare. Highly recommend it. Buckeye Lake Pirates. Buckeye Lake is 7 miles long. It's 30 minutes east of Columbus. If anybody out there is headed out to Buckeye Lake sometime, look at our group, our Facebook group, the Buckeye Lake Pirates, and you'll see where we're going to be appearing for the weekend. And we get together year round, not just during the summer, nice weather. We also get together during the winter months and go bar hopping and recruit pirates, so to say. We still have our face painting business, Funhouse Faces. Come see us at the Midwest Haunters Convention. It's in weekend of June, guys, I want to say 8th, 9th, and 10th, I believe it is, for 2020 in Chicago. It's actually in Schaumburg, Illinois. But go out to Facebook. You can also go out on the website, MidwestHauntersConvention.com. And I hope to see you guys at one of those events. Maybe you'll see Dr. Collins or Captain Cordoba this coming October at some haunted attraction.
That would be great. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on to Wrestle Horror to help us break the wrestling streak we've been having on the show lately. I hope that people really do pay attention to this because there's a lot of great information that you provided us. Once again, I'm Meat Hook Jim, along with Donnie Hoover. This is the Wrestle Horror Podcast, and we are out.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, the Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.